listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic,
we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known.
And now, here's your host, Jenny Nicasio.
Hello, New Orleans on FM 107.7 and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, and everywhere streaming around the world. I'm Jenny Nicasio. Welcome you to Chasing Prophecy Radio. Tonight is extra special because we're joined by the remarkable Barbara Whipp. She's not just an award-winning author, but an international peace activist, which is really interesting, and a respected psychic channel. And we're going to get into that. So I'm not really sure what that means, channel. Barbara brings wealth and knowledge and a unique insight that are sure to captivate us tonight. So as we delve into the world of psychic phenomena and peace activism, which is, I don't know, I can't see the two together, but we'll figure that out. Oh boy. I encourage everyone in the chat to get involved. Make sure you post and share the links. That's what makes us successful. And if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to post. Your interaction makes our show even more dynamic and engaging. So I'm generally thrilled to have you, each of you, every Monday, Tuesday and Sunday evening before Sean Kelly into the night. Your presence and participation are what makes Chasing Prophecy a success. So keep those comments coming, guys, and share the broadcast. Your support helps us. I just want to, you know, make sure. And don't forget, every week our show is sponsored by the United Public Talk Radio. I want to thank them for their support. Helps us bring this fascinating conversations to you each and every week. So settle down, get a cup of coffee or whatever you like. I'm not here to judge. And I'm going to welcome Barbara onto the show. But I just want to make sure before we do that, just remember, if you post in the chat and you stay for the entire show, at the end, we're going to do some mini readings. So I hope you're going to be helping out. Okay. So good evening, Barbara. And thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. So Barbara, before we get started, I just want to get some information. So you're a psychic channel. And could you share with us how you first discovered that you have psychic abilities?
Well, my psychic abilities really revealed themselves early on through music. And I was very, very young when I started climbing up onto the piano and figuring out how to play. And I taught myself to play. And then I was writing music by the time I was 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
And that process is really the process of channeling. And so I think channeling is a lot more commonplace than people maybe imagine it to be if you don't know what it is. But think of a jazz musician who does, who riffs and does ad lib. That's all channeling, where you're going into this kind of non-physical place and listening for information, in that case music. But that was really what set me up for later on becoming a channel. And the other thing that set me up was when I was in high school, my friend Mike said, "You have to come and see what my mom does." And I was like, "What does your mom do?" And I went, and she was a channel. We didn't call them channels at the time. But she would close her eyes, and she always had this beautiful picture of Jesus behind her. And she said she'd go into outer space and she wouldn't remember what she said, but she would talk to us in this voice of we. And it was the most beautiful information. It was just really all about self-improvement and self-love and thriving. And there was predictions in there, but really a lot of it and the focus of that information that was coming out of her was about how to, for me to better my life. So that's, and she said she was an antenna, That's how she described herself. So there wasn't any dead people or aliens or any of that. It was just kind of channeling human beings, their higher power back to them.
So a channel is like you're channeling somebody or something. It's just like you're just not psychic. You're actually going into this sort of meditated state. Is that correct?
Yes, but I think that being psychic is a kind of a broad term, actually, because I think, somebody asked me on another podcast I did today about what's the difference between being a channel and being a psychic intuitive.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's really a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. Psychic intuitives pick up information from this mysterious unknown source and feed it back to whoever they're reading for and get glimpses into their life and their conditions through that kind of mysterious process. And that's really, really mm-hmm. what channeling is as well.
Okay. So many of our listeners are curious of what's entailed in being a psychic channel. Can you describe what experience is like for you when you are channeling?
When I first started to channel, it was very chaotic in that I had all these thoughts myself. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there going, you can't tell these people that. You don't know what this is. And so I would try to picture my ego kind of little tiny, like I saw it little tiny, like sitting in a little mm-hmm. rocking chair. And it could kind of go on and on, but it's what the voice of it was really little and tiny. And that left kind of this big space for me to listen for the information. And it really feels like it's just me talking, but the information that's coming out of me is so deep and prophetic and profound that it's really bigger than just my human mind can produce, I think.
Okay, so you don't have like how can I put this? You don't go like I see some use a writing board, like they start to scribble, like write. You don't do anything like that?
No.
Or use any cards or anything like that, or any kind of palm reading, or hold anything from someone, like a piece of jewelry or a picture?
No, I just go into my meditation and then I start to speak.
Okay. And have you had any psychic experience as a child? Anything profound happened to you as a child?
Not really. I was so absorbed in my focus in music mm-hmm. that kind of took up all of my intuitive attentions, because I grew up in a very turbulent household and a lot of abuse. And so writing music was a kind of a survival technique for me.
I just want to pause and say a shout out to Cindy. Thanks for being here tonight. And Anthony, thank you for being here tonight. And if you have any questions or comments for Barbara, just make sure you post them. And if you stay throughout the show towards the last 15 minutes, we're going to be doing some readings where we're going to pick two people from the chat. So if you stay through, you'll get a reading. If not, yeah. Okay. So yours is your psychic ability came through music, you think?
Yeah, it really was the setup for developing this ability to listen into the
so it was auditory. So yes. did you have to concentrate? I mean, did you practice this, or is this something that just came easily through, like using your senses of hearing?
Once I started to channel, when I started to channel, it was through automatic writing. It was kind of mm-hmm. spontaneously automatic writing. My hands.
Okay, that's what I meant. So you do yeah. the automatic. Like you get
I did
pencil.
It.
You do
yeah.
this thing where you would just like scribble, like, and it came to you.
I did, and then I started to speak it.
Okay. Now, did you have any kind of spirit guides that a lot of psychics say they have, or did you just meditate? Did you have a particular, spirit guide or angel?
Well, when I first started to automatic write and I said, who are you? Mm-hmm. The answer was sound.
Sound.
They said sound. And as somebody who had been writing music my whole life, it wasn't a stretch for me that somehow these this information was coming out of some higher.
That's really power. Interesting when you say that sound. I don't know what you want to call it, a spirit or came to you and it said sound. You didn't hear a sound. It said sound.
Well, I was typing at the moment. So it really was coming through my hands more than it was coming through my intellect.
I'm trying to understand this.
I was watching the words being typed as they were being typed.
You were typing.
Yes.
Okay. And sound. Okay. I'm just trying to get a mental picture of this. So in your practice, have you ever encountered energies or spirits that were challenging to communicate with? I mean, were they anything that was hard to communicate with? And how did you handle it? How did you handle the situation, if it was?
I really haven't. No. I really haven't. When I was channeling in the beginning and doing individual readings, nobody asked me if it was somebody else or what was going on. People would just come and they'd get the information and then they come back. So it was valuable to them what they were getting. But it wasn't until I started doing groups and the women who I was doing groups with said, "Who are you?" In a reading, they asked, "Who are you?" And they said, "We're angels." So they went from sound now to angels.
Yeah. Now, when you say groups, so this is the sorority that you call it?
Yes, psychic sorority.
Okay. Now, how did you come together? I mean, I'm trying to get a grasp on this because I hear a lot of psychics. I talked to a lot of, over the past 4 years, I've talked to a lot of psychics. And I just wanted to know, were you scared or upset when this happened? Did you think there was where are these voices or sounds coming from?
No, I wasn't. At all. In fact, it was just the opposite. Because I had been seeing Eunice was the mentor that I had. She was the psychic that went into a trance and would talk to me. I knew what was going on. But I mean, I was still very surprised that I had this ability to do it. But
how old were you when this happened?
When I first started channeling, I was 32. Wow. It was 1987.
And was there any kind of traumatic event that happened that brought this ability on?
I think it was really the death of, it was the first person in my life to pass on. One of my dear friends died and I went into this kind of tailspin. And then I started to have all these audio sensations of, he was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And so really that was facilitated kind of going deep. When death does, it sends us deep into an emotional place.
Yeah, death does bring a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah, it does. It brings on a whole depth of emotion that you can't comprehend sometimes. It's just overwhelming. And it seems like grief brings it on too. Like when you're grieving somebody and you're praying to, I don't know if you're praying to them or the universe, sometimes it brings it on. So tell me a little bit more about the sorority sisters, the psychics.
Yeah. Well, I had in 1993, I'd wanted to do groups. I was really curious. I'd been channeling now for 5 or 6 years and I was a big fan of Edgar Cayce.
Oh yeah, Edgar Cayce, the Association for Enlightenment.
Yes. And he used to do small groups. He did a lot of individual readings for people who would write in, but I was just curious and I thought, well, maybe we could record it and transcribe it and I maybe get it published in a magazine. Yeah. But nobody that I knew as my clients were interested in doing this. So I sort of put it aside. And then I got a referral for a reading with a woman named Teresa. And then she came and she sent 5 or 6 of her friends. And then she sent her best friend, Kim. And when Kim came, everything changed. The level of the reading was accelerated. I was speaking faster than normal. And she would not normally come for a reading. I'm not a political person, but I'm using this as a description.
Okay.
She was, she was a Republican businesswoman. She'll tell you she had, you know, matching pearls and pearl.
There's nothing wrong with a Republican businesswoman.
Absolutely not. I am totally not criticizing, but she was not somebody who would gravitate towards going to see a psychic. She would just think that was just too far out. But like most people who go to see a psychic, you do when you're in crisis.
Yes.
When you have nowhere else to turn.
Yes.
You'll do anything.
Most definitely.
And so she came and she got such a huge boost after being so sort of disheveled and chaotic for so long. Mm-hmm. She went home and she transcribed her tape. And then she called me the next day and says, well, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And nobody had ever done that.
Yeah.
So we started talking and Teresa and Kim started coming to my gigs. I was gigging in Minneapolis where I was living as a musician. And on our breaks, we would just talk. And I think probably about the same time, they said, hey, we've got all these women and we're all talking about this. Maybe Barbara will come over and meet with us. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, here's my group. And so we called each other up and we scheduled our first group was December 14th, 1993. So in 2 days, it'll be our 30th anniversary of the very first group that we channeled. And from that, everything has transpired.
Oh,
absolutely
wow.
Everything. So, yeah.
Well, how many people were involved in this?
In the first group?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think there were maybe 8 of us.
Cool. So can you explain how you prepare yourself to channel? Do you sit down in a quiet room, light some candles, put some soft music on, have a glass of wine? What do you do?
I don't. I pretty much make sure everybody's ready. And then I close my eyes, take a breath, get out of the way and start to talk. It's really not. There's a prayer in the beginning, invocation of protection. And then it's just off I go. And
okay,
I'm just
so you're a psychic. You're not a medium, right? Or are you both?
Well, what is a medium?
Someone who can who can communicate with dead people.
I don't know. I can and I do, but I don't do it in the way that like spiritualists do it, or maybe John Edward. If you remember John Edward, he would, you know, throw out a name and he'd tell you all about the details.
Yeah, because you have a CEC. Okay, let's try an experiment. Can you say for me? Let's tip. Can we do a little mini reading for myself right now? Because we're going to pick two people. I mean, can you do something right now? Like, can you do it right over the?
I'm good with questions.
Okay, if I give you a question,
yes.
Now, when you say you can communicate with spirit, like deceased people,
but like I said, this is my gifts are not like that. They're not on demand. They're not just, okay, I can pick out the dead people. I can pick
okay,
out
so
those.
I can say, okay. Oh, okay. So I'm trying to think of a question I can ask you. Is there anything going to happen in my personal life? Okay. Is there anything that can you get any information like that? Like, or can you, wondering about my mother who passed away? Can she see what's going on here? Does she see what I'm doing? You know, stuff like that. Can you do something like anything like that or not?
Well, I would see your mother as being very close to you, very much on a daily basis with, and not just you, but other members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Your own communication with her is there. You sense her, you sense times when you feel communicating with her, although I don't sense that you feel like it's consistent or that you can do it all the time, but there's times where you feel her presence and wish that you could have more. And she's been, when she first passed, there was a sense of kind of rest, like regrouping after her passing, but I see her there. I see her there constantly.
I don't know if that's a good thing. I always wonder, you know, because there's a lot of transitions that go on. I just wondered if she's approving of anything, if she's not happy, anything. Hi, Casey. Anthony wants to know, how do you protect yourself so other people's thoughts stay with you?
So other people's thoughts stay with me. Not quite sure I understand that. So other people's thoughts don't stay with me. What I do is I, before I go into any reading, any channeling session, I do a prayer of protection where we command only the most divine light shine down upon us at this time and the greatest good be present here. And I have never had any trouble with errant spirits getting stuck in me or any of that kind of those ideas that somehow we're attacked or we're overtaken or we're not protected. I've just never experienced any of that.
Okay. He said, yes, don't stay with you. So he's yes. confirming that. Okay. That's cool. So you think okay. We won't go into that. So how do you manage your emotional and mental impact of this being a psychic? How do you protect yourself when dealing with intense, heavy emotion or information?
You know, I don't find it to be much different than regular life. I have been through, I've been channeling since 1987. So I've been through a lot of different kinds of experiences. I've had experiences where my ego got involved and it had a hard lesson. I've been trained by my own studies. When I was studying with Eunice for 17 years, I would see her readings and then I would go forward and see what they really meant. You know, when somebody gives you a prediction, you kind of always formulate what you think it's going to be. And so I would do that, but then I would pay attention and I would note what actually took place as opposed to what I thought it meant. And so after a while, I just developed a rapport with this kind of art, I guess I call it an intuitive art. And yeah. I've never experienced anything that required any kind of deep kind of protection or I did at one time do a channeling. I was called to do a channel for a woman. She said she was in school and she was investigating a old situation that they were charged with seeing in a new way. I think it was a journalism class. And so she picked this unsolved murder that had taken place when she was young. And what she didn't tell us was the 12-year-old girl in her family who had gotten murdered had been her best friend. So in that channeling session, I had to actually see the murder of this family.
Oh, wow.
Place. So that was a situation where while it was going on, I was really detached from it. I was very numb to it. But it was the next day when Kim and Therese and I got together the next day and started to kind of piece together what we had seen. And we went back to Kim's house to do another session to say, what in the world is going on? And the angels explained that, you know, this mission that we were on together, the three of us, required that they were three of us for these kinds of situations so that when one of us were being, like in that case, I was seeing these murders and so I needed their support. And in other cases, they needed my support. So they had built in this kind of way in which we supported each other and we learned as we went. So that's always just been my experience.
How many angels are there? There's a group of angels that stay with you when you do these channeling, or are they different angels every time?
Well, there's quite a collection of, we call it the party now. Mm-hmm. And after the angels revealed themselves, and we worked for 4 or 5 years, Kim and Teresa, and then we published our first book, Diaries of a Psychic Sorority, Talking with the Angels. And after that book came out, I got a call from a tabloid in London. And they were looking for an interview with Princess Di from Beyond the Grave on the 1 year anniversary of her death. And as I told you, I don't do those kinds of things. That isn't really my bailiwick, but I decided to channel via typing. I thought, well, I'll try it. I'll imagine going to her and I'll imagine listening. And so I kind of channeled the questions, I channeled the answers, and then I printed it out. And when I read it, I was really taken because it was so detailed about her life with Dodie and what happened with her kids and what happened on that night. But her big message was that if everyone who loved her and put flowers in front of the palace after she died would work for peace, that we could all have world peace. That was her big message. And so at this time, as I started to realize that I could do this, well, the tabloid flew me out to New York and interviewed me for 5 hours, but they didn't want the interview. I'm sure because it didn't have any dirt about Charles.
Yeah, nothing.
And Camilla. No, and so my agent and I thought, well, maybe there's other dead people, you know, who want to talk, famous dead people. So we made a big list and we started to ask. I'd go in my mind, I'd think, you know, and the next person up was Nicole Brown Simpson.
Oh.
And that was also very eye-opening to me, very eye-opening interview. Just her take on what he went through growing up in a racist kind of situation. And
so you did communicate with her or not?
Yes.
Did you? And did she say who killed her?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was where I learned, because I always thought when you passed on, you went to this very peaceful place.
Yeah, that's what I think. Groovy.
No. And she was like, oh, heck no. Not when you've been murdered by your husband and your children.
So where did she go? What did she say?
Well, she was just constantly with her children, just constantly looking over them, looking after them.
Oh, so she didn't pass. She just sticked around. Now that's what I mean. So, when they're here looking around, they didn't go on. So they're still on this plane. They haven't gone to the next level.
Well,
or do they? Or they come back and forth?
There's really nowhere to go. There really isn't any different place to go. And that was what came out of my talking with Einstein.
Let's talk about that. Talk about Einstein.
So in this whole interviews with all these famous dead people, we got to John Kennedy, and he said that they were already writing this book, so they were going to tell us who was next, and that's when he brought in Einstein. And when I was channeling Einstein, this was the voice that had been coming out of me since I first started channeling. In fact, this was probably the voice that was with me when I was young doing music and sound. It was very, very familiar. And so he began in that interview, really began his kind of unified field theory that he eventually brought in my other books. But he went on to explain with the work that I've done with him, how it is that we, create the physical reality, how we have these perceptions of reality. And he actually delivered in 2005, I did a book just for him called Imagining Einstein. And he delivered to me his unified field theory from afterlife, which was something he could never do in real life.
Oh, wow.
And it included maps of human consciousness and a process that we called conflict revolution, because this was the process that the angels all those years ago told us they were here. They had come here. They had this process to resolve conflict that they needed some humans to test. It was this revolutionary way that they thought humans could take control of their own energy that would then also lead to world peace. And they called it world peace one person at a time, starting with self. And they gave us these step-by-step instructions and asked us if we would test out their theories. And sure enough, the three of us had conflict, and we referred back to the channeling sessions, and we applied this kind of new perspective of how to deal with them, and everything started to change.
That's amazing.
So when Einstein revealed himself, it's like, because you asked, you, what you asked was, how many angels are there and who are they? Well, it morphed from I'm an antenna to now there's these angels, which I was skeptical about just because I'm a skeptic.
Yeah. But
the three of us said, you know, in fact, Kim, the least spiritual of us, said, you know what? I don't care if it's the Easter Bunny. What they're telling us to do is changing my life for the better. It was just activating us. And
so that's where the activism piece comes into play.
Yes.
I want to just take a real quick break. And just, I want to do a shout out. If you're just joining us tonight, we have Barbara Whip. She's a psychic channeler and a peace activist. And I just want to say thank you, Cindy, Casey, T, Sebastian. Thank you for the compliment. And if you have any questions, Cindy, just put in the chat. Do you tell people what songs their loved ones are relating to?
Not generally.
Okay, Cindy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want, and thank you, United Public Talk Radio, for sponsoring tonight. So Einstein channeled, you channeled Einstein. He gave you all these messages that you would not know if it wasn't for him telling you it, like those formulas and,
yes.
And everything is about peace. And they, that seems to be a real big topic with a lot of, spiritualists, people who believe they can communicate with, extraterrestrials. They're always wanting to bring peace. And that seems to be a big thing for you guys now. And you talk to your angels, a lot of people who are skeptics or people who in the religious forum or people who don't believe in communicating with deceased or angels might say that, how do you know you're not communicating with something that's, you know, malicious or like a fallen angel? How do you know, and how do you protect yourself? Is it just that prayer? Because once you bring one of those in, they say it's very hard to let go.
Yeah, I have never had that experience. I'm not real sure how to explain that I've never had that experience. I think early on when Kim and Teresa and I were working and we had these questions about, surely people are going to tell us that there's going to be some kind of fallen angel that's going to sneak in and take over us.
They do exist. They do exist.
Sure, they surely do. But I've always felt like, and I think I said this, is that it's really not that different in spirit than it is in real life. There's people walking on the round in the world who will kill you.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So whatever that sense is of how we protect ourselves in life or from spirits in afterlife, I have never seemed to have, now, not that I haven't had, you know, bad people who I think are evil around me, but that protection really comes from within us. And I have just always had that kind of protection, and I've never felt threatened by evil spirits or feeling like I'm going to get subsumed
or turned into a puff of smoke. Anthony wants to know, so do you go on team investigations and use your abilities?
I really don't. I have a very specific gift. And I always tell people, think about it like Einstein. All right, Einstein could tell us the secrets of the universe, but he couldn't remember where he put his watch or how to brush his hair. You know, he had a very specific focus. And that's kind of how I explain my gift, is that in my readings, if you come and have a reading with me, there'll be predictive stuff. There'll be stuff that has to do with your mother, if you ask, and there'll be that information. But the gist of what I do is really for a bigger cause. It's for a greater good. It's a focus on this process of world peace one person at a time, because right now we're in a world where, you know, you bear in mind that, Jenny, I started doing this 30 years ago when peace, world peace was not really a big topic. I mean, it was the 90s and we were probably in our most prosperous, peaceful time.
Well, things aren't really peaceful now. Okay, no. So we're talking about peace. You're a psychic. What do you see? We're in this really time that's so, I mean, I don't even know how to explain what the times we're in right now. So what do you see for the future? We're coming into 2024 with the election coming up. We're seeing all these wars in Israel and Russia and the Ukraine. And so do you see anything positive or anything coming, a positive resolution? Or do you think we're on a downward sweep into the apocalypse?
I really have this great hope myself. I know it's very odd considering everything you mentioned, and that is true. But what's going on is that all of these horrible things are eliciting a kind of compassion from people that even right now, we all don't quite know what to do with it yet, but it's coming up and people are finally saying, wait a minute. You know, wait, it's too much. We need to do something. And those of us in the United States, we've been pretty sheltered from having that core gut feeling that the rest of the world is going through in every war zone that we're probably involved in. So to have us finally going, wait a minute, this is just too much. There's a lot of compassion that's coming up.
Okay. There's a Netflix movie. I forget the name of it, but everybody's talking about it. Obama produced it. Does anybody know what it is?
I just heard about that. What is it called?
Oh, it's a brain freeze. And I don't have my phones. Does anybody know what that movie is on Netflix? With Julia Roberts? Because I could Google it and I'd probably end up losing. Let me see what that's called, Netflix movie. I just watched it on Saturday.
I just watched
it. That's with Julia Roberts. Yeah, everybody's talking about it because they said it's some kind of Leave the World Behind. And that's what it's called, Leave the World Behind. And they're all talking about it, saying there's people that are asleep right now and there's people that are awake. The people who are awake understand that this is some kind of, they're just like they always do it. Hollywood warns us. And there's going to be some kind of a big blackout. And we all know about the three days of darkness that they'd mentioned in the Bible. When they're going to knock out the grid. And so it's like, how can you even talk about peace when, according to these people or these higher people, that they're saying, no, you're not, everything's going to fall apart. We're going to have a new world order and all that. But they're predicting it. What do you say about that? Because you want peace. You're a peace activist. So what is your comment on that?
Well, I think that the future is not set in stone and that there's transformation happening right now within the human system and human individuals. And you might not see it instantaneously. There's still horrible things going on in the world, but there is this huge movement that's been going on for civilizations. You know, where we are, as you mentioned, this is not just another day. This is an incredible time of life and death and good versus evil. And I just have a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith in humans. I think humans are made out of compassion. I think that's what's at our root. But we've been given this ability to make free choices, free will choices. And until we all figure out how to make free will choices that have to do with compassion and peacemaking, that's what we're here to learn how to do. And yeah, it's tough and it's horrible, but I refuse to abide by any prediction that says it's the end. I wouldn't do that for my own life. I wouldn't intend to manifest the end as if it's out of my control. So I have to do it from the macrocosm as well.
Absolutely. Okay, we're coming down to the last 20 minutes. We're going to do, Cindy is going to be the first person. Now, Cindy, do you want to come into the studio? I can give you a link. I'll post a link if you want. You can do audio or video or both. These are only 5 minutes, okay? Or whenever Barbara and wants to say, get
I'll
the heck
do
out.
My best. Like I said, it's, you know, I can.
I don't. Because I'll post a link and I'll post a link. And please, people, do not pop in. We're only picking two people that were in the whole time. And Cindy was one of them. Okay. So I'm going to put the link in her. So please be respectful and don't just sit in my studio because I'll kick you out. Okay. You can do the audio if you don't want to do video. And that way she can hear your voice, pick up any kind of cues because she's a listener, because she's audio, you know, she listens and she can see you too. So, yeah, there's so much stuff going on right now. And to be honest with you, there are days when I just feel like overwhelmed. And I've noticed, like, I go on a lot of social media platforms and I listen to people's videos and I go on TikTok, even though I don't think you should, because they say that that's not a good thing to do. But I listen to a lot of people and they say that everybody's feeling overwhelmed, like this feeling they can't sleep. They get up the same time every night at 3:32 or 3:28 and they can't go back to sleep. And everybody feels like there's something like in the air, like there's a heaviness. What do you say about that? Do you feel, could that be anything psychic or something going on?
Well, there is, but you know, this is a whole shift in how humans relate. In our world, we call it, we're installing a new operating system. So everyone's being pushed to this edge for this change that's coming up. And what I love, and I guess why I'm so optimistic, is this information that Einstein's brought forth and that we've researched and developed, it's miraculous. It has changed my life so profoundly to be so, I sleep well at night. And not because I think the world is not what you described, but because I know what my mission is. I know I've been here and I know I've been brought back here to have this effect in the world, to become the change in the world. And I wish, well, I this is what I do on my World Peace Tour. I'm teaching and training conflict resolution. I'm inspiring people to understand that they can have a whole different relationship to the world through their relationship to themselves. And the idea is that this is kind of the broad sweeping idea of conflict resolution, is that as within, so without. So when we go in with this new map of this human consciousness and this new way of relating to our inner world and bringing peace within our inner world, it naturally manifests outside ourselves. And it starts in the microcosm. So
microcosm.
I'm not saying that instantly I can cure all the ills of the world, but I have a profound effect on how I can transform my own life. And that ripples out into the world and affects other people and other situations. And if more and more people are being driven to this point, then we are going to make that change.
Okay, Cindy is in the back. Go ahead, Cindy. If you have a question that you'd like Barb to help you with.
I'll do my best.
Hello, Barb.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, any question is good for me. Do you see anyone related to me?
As far as in afterlife?
Yes.
I don't specifically. Is there somebody you want to ask after?
No, no one in particular. Are you able to tell people who their angel guides are?
Well, I can see that you have a, I guess what I would call a team. It's a team, and some of it is ancestry that has been through, you know, we all have grandmothers and great grandmothers and great great grandmothers that come down through that. But you also seem to have a couple of guides that look to me like they're it's almost like they're shepherds.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so in that angelic form of, and what I take that to mean is that, you know, a shepherd is really close to the earth and the animals and a very, very like practical life. And so you've got that kind of strong guidance around you in practicalities, as opposed to, like, I have Einstein, who is like, woo, huge, you know, huge thinking processes and huge ideas. But these angels, they're really a lot, or the shepherds, the two particularly that I see, they're really a lot more about very basic, you know, making sure you don't get in a car accident and making sure you have what you need. So you have a lot of that, but you've got that in yourself. You've got this big resilience. You know, you've been through some pretty major stuff in your life and come out the other side with this very strong resilience within you. Yes?
Well, yes, you are spot on everything. Amazing.
Oh, good. Glad I can help.
Definitely amazing. I can relate to all of that.
Okay, Anthony's coming on. Thank you so much, Cindy.
And thanks for joining us tonight.
It was great to have you on. Anthony's going to come on in a second. Yeah, it's really amazing how you spot on her. That's amazing stuff. I wish I could do that, but I don't think I have the I guess that would be the patience, or I don't know, to sit there and try to channel. I mean, I got a book on channeling, but I never, wasn't something I could do, I don't think.
It is a unique process, I think.
I tried to do that automated writing one time after my brother died. It was freaked me out because it was like, oh my God, this was his handwriting. It was getting scary. Right. So I quit.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know why I wasn't scared about it. It's like, whoa.
See, I would be scared. Okay, here's Anthony. He's not, is he on yet? Okay, there's Anthony. Go ahead. Good evening,
oh,
Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, yeah. Texas.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Texas.
So what's your question for Barb?
My question is that I'll be moving here pretty soon. That's because my computer's freezing. Okay. Well, I just have to go with that. It's feedback on my side. My question is that I'll be moving here pretty soon. My paranormal business, I'll be looking for a new house. So how's that going to come out? Good or bad?
It's going to come out good, but don't be daunted if things don't fall into place, boom, 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 right away. Don't be discouraged by any of it. There's something that's very specific that's coming for you. Very specific house, and it's not going to be the first one, and it's not going to be the second one. If there's something already that you're thinking about, that might not happen, but it's all because eventually, in the right timing, it might be a little harrowing. You might feel like, oh, it's getting close or whatever, but it's all going to work out as long as you keep feeling and breathing through all those changes. And keeping that focus on, you're going to fully intend that you're going to get exactly the right situation, exactly the right house that you need, so that you don't hold on, so that if something falls through, don't get discouraged. Don't think, just let it go. Pivot. That's what we call it. Like, you know, in basketball, when you pivot, it's like you don't sit there and go, well, why didn't the ball go where I needed it? You just pivot. So, And then it's really great, the outcome of what you're looking for and where you're going. So that's what I see for you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You Any bet. Other questions before we kick you out?
Oh, I got a ton, but I'll take up too much time.
We'll let you have one more.
I also, for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, also I have two paranormal podcasts. I have my team, which is Texas Race Hunters. And so how is that going to pan out over there?
I think there's going to be some changing of a team, maybe team members, a team member. Someone new is going to come into your business circle, and it might not seem right at the beginning as if that person is needed or even pertinent, but there's just something, you're going to meet this person, there's something about wanting to bring them in, and then at the right shifting of how everything is going, and they're going to be really valuable. They're going to be able to provide you with some stuff that you've been wanting to have in that work, because it is a lot of work. Yeah. And they're going to be bringing in a specific, special, maybe a talent, maybe how they edit or something that they're bringing that's really going to add to the team. And you're going to find some new maybe sponsorships or funding.
There you go.
And that's going to be exciting later on in the late winter.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. That's what I needed to hear. I mean, getting kind of down because there's so much.
Where are you moving to, Anthony?
San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, are you in Texas now?
Yes. I'm about 5 hours from there.
Oh, so yeah, it's not too far. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I was just in Corpus. I love Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy, if you're there, that's the last one we're going to do, Kathy, because you were in from the beginning. So there's the link I posted. Thanks, Anthony. I appreciate it. It was All great right. seeing
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
We'll do that one more when she comes on, and then we'll call it a night. We're only here for an hour. It goes pretty fast.
It does.
Yeah, there she is. Okay, Kathy.
Hey,
give
Kathy.
Your question to Barb and see if she can help you out.
Okay. I don't know what kind of question to ask. am I on the right path for my spiritual journey?
Yes, you just have to shift your understanding slightly, because part of what you're doing is you're looking for kind of for this path outside yourself. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? Is there some activity, or is there some practice, or is there something outside myself that I'm supposed to be doing spiritually? But really, your whole purpose here is to learn to love yourself. That is the bottom line. And everything that we are given, every test, every situation, every person, every relationship is meant to help us ultimately learn how to take care and love ourselves, because we can't give what we don't have. So when we're trying to be really giving, which is good, it's good to give love, it's good to be loving. But when we don't really have that sacred love for ourselves, it kind of falls short for our whole development. So if you just kind of look that way more, there's more that you can actually be doing. Like, oh my gosh, it's not about being a psychic or being an author or being a this or that. It's about how you're going to love yourself. And that's something we can do every day.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Basically what I've been doing lately is looking within, because I know that I check out everything. and I came to realize that 2 days ago. is that I have to go within and follow that journey in order to awaken and be conscious of everything.
Yep.
Yes.
Good advice. Well, thank you, Kathy, for joining us, and thank you for tuning in. I'm glad you came on. I'm glad. Love seeing you in the chat every week. But you have a great night.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good advice again. Good advice. Well, we have 5 minutes left. Is there anything you want to tell our listeners and across everywhere? FM 107.7, 105.3, Mississippi, streaming all over 8 different platforms right now.
I would just like to say that I am on this World Peace Tour. And if you go to barbarawith.com, BarbaraWith.com, and you can sign up for and find all the places that I'm going to be on my tour. If you want to, if you're in a situation where you want to bring me to where you are, I'll offer my services. I do group channeling. I also have a big reading sale going on right now.
Wow.
And all my books are available. And I just want to leave everybody with one quick tip for conflict revolution. What we're trying to do, there's two things we're trying to do, is feel all of our feelings through our breath work. All right. So think about emotion more like electricity rather than an intellectual thinking process. And then if we separate our emotion from our intellect, then we can witness what we're thinking. And as going back to what Kathy was saying, she's going inside and she's mm-hmm. going to witness herself, and she's going to see where her thought processes are degrading her or not respecting her or somehow defining her as less. And then she's going to have that opportunity to make that shift with the thinking, and then also the feeling and breathing. And those simple tips move energy and clear up our inner space so that we can start to naturally manifest around us the things that we want and intend. So you can see more of all that training at my website too.
Well, we're going to have to check that out. But I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. It was a pleasure meeting you. It was a pleasure listening to you. I definitely want to check out your books. Make sure you go to her website, check it out. And it was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you have a great Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a great rest of the night.
Absolutely. All right. Good night, all.
Wow. That was interesting. Very interesting. I learn a lot every time I come on here, and I learned a lot every night. It seems like there's so much to learn. I'm not so sure I can do the channeling. I probably could. Oh gosh. You see that mark on my head? Where is that? On this side? I got beat up by his big 10-foot Santa Claus out in my backyard. I was trying to put it back up after the wind. We had some rain and some slush, and he's huge, and he fell down. So I went out, and I'm trying to, you know, I got the stakes, and I'm putting it in the ground. I couldn't get the one in, and I tried a little bit harder, and then there was this one that was in my way. It was like 6 feet away. I could have knocked out my eye. I pulled it from the ground too hard, and it was like a boomerang, and it hit me. You can't see, but it was bleeding so bad. Looks like a pimple, and it's not a pimple. It's a big knock on the head. It bled, and my daughter-in-law, she called the ambulance, and they came. I was so embarrassed. They came. She is really good, Cindy. Yeah, Barb. Barb said, wow, the world needs more people like you. The world needs more people like you guys for tuning in every week, considering it was such a big change. I miss the boys. I do. I like to have them back sometime. I like talking with John, and I like talking with Sean. Yeah, I was okay. Anita, it hurt so bad. I mean, it knocked the wind out of me because it was taunt. It was very taunt. It was like a boomerang. I am so lucky. It's looking how close it is to my eye. I could have knocked my eye out. and it just hurt so bad. I had to keep ice on it. And it's funny though, because it's not funny. It was big, but it's going down now. But I'm so lucky it didn't swell. I put that ice on right away. The paramedics probably thought I was an idiot. They're always coming. I'm always hurting myself. I don't know. I'm like so clumsy or what. I'm doing things that men should do. That's the problem. I'm not a man. I'm a woman. And I gotta remember that when I try. I want to do everything. You know, I hit a certain age and I want to do everything. And I can't. I can't do everything. And I got to tell myself that. Yeah, thank God it didn't hit your eye. Yep. Yep. Sounds good. I love all your comments. Okay, I know Sean comes on at like, what is he like? 8:10? He's going to hit me. He's going to hit me. But next week, next Tuesday, I believe it's the 19th. See, Stan Gordon was supposed to be on tonight, and we got our schedule screwed up. So he's on the 19th. Mark Anthony, I'm not quite sure what his scoop is, but he's into the paranormal. He'll be on Sunday. So I shall see you Sunday at 7 Eastern. Make sure you're in the chat. Make sure you share the link, because I want this to grow. I want this to grow bigger. I wanted to get back to the way it was when the boys were on, because we were hitting the numbers. We were getting like almost 1 million listeners a night. And the manager of the station told me that one of the Sundays or the Tuesday we were at 100,000. Our SoundCloud is getting up there. What's that, honey? It's okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next week before Sean yells at me. So thank you again for choosing to watch Chasing Prophecy on 107.7 in New Orleans and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, and streaming all over the world. Have a great night, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I got to get an ending like Sean's.